I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The municipal election in Vancouver is this Saturday, the 19th of November. We continue meeting the candidates. Joining me now is Nicole Benson. She is a city council candidate for Neighborhoods for a Sustainable Vancouver. Ms. Benson was born and raised in Vancouver, but has lived in Ontario, Mexico, and Spain. She operates a small language teaching business called Esperanza Education. She volunteers at Windsor House School as well. We'll ask her about why she's running, the issues she's championing, and the campaign thus far. The website for the party is at nsvancouver.ca. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Nicole Benson. Good morning, Ms. Benson.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So Esperanza Education, as I said, it's a language teaching business. What does that involve? That's students that come here, or how does that work?
Well, I've been tutoring, sort of teaching private classes on the side while I was going to grad school for a number of years. And then after graduating, I decided to launch it into a full business. So we offer language and culture classes in English, Spanish, and Chinese. And we have a mandate that it's not just language learning for travel and the typical sort of things that you learn languages for, but we really want to build connections between cultures and people and really foster sort of a relationship between people and the cultures that they want to learn about.
Yeah, and so that background, your work, that relates to politics quite well, doesn't it?
It does, and I've always been quite politically engaged. I'm also involved in a few different other organizations doing solidarity work and politically related work.
Yeah, so what concerns did you have that made you decide to run for political office?
Well, I have a number of concerns. I think we're at a really crucial moment in Vancouver's history. What I've been seeing in the last few years, well, the last 6 years, is that the communities in Vancouver are not being listened to, and we're seeing time and time again council basically completely ignoring community input. And this has a lot to do with the fact that the major political parties here are heavily funded by the development industry, and we're seeing them favor the development industry over a community voice. And this is really upsetting to me. I think it's really important that we have a fair and transparent process where everybody's voices are taken into account. And as I said, we are at a crossroads. In this next couple of years, Vancouver has to submit its regional context statement for the regional growth strategy, which is essentially a 30-year planning document. And we're essentially going to be locked into this document for the next 30 years. So for me, it's really important that we have a fair process, that we have community input when it comes to designing this document, because, as I said, it's going to determine the shape of Vancouver for the next 30 years. And as a young person, that's very concerning to me because, you know, I want to stay in the future of my city, and I don't want it to be just completely overrun by big development companies.
You know, the statement, I guess Terry Martin, your colleague who's running for NSV, mm-hmm. was on, I guess, last week, and then Mr. Hilton, your mayoral candidate, was on yesterday.
Yeah.
And they both brought that up, and I never thought about it, and I never knew that this was coming up in the next couple of years or so. Does it frustrate you that a lot of the other candidates, say the bigger parties, aren't talking about things like this?
Well, that's exactly the problem that we have in the city right now. A lot of things are happening behind closed doors. A lot of people don't know what's going on. And I think it's especially true with younger people. There is a lot of voter apathy because, in general, things are good. You know, we have a pretty good life here in Vancouver. It's a beautiful city to live in. And, you know, what happens with, you know, a development here or a development there doesn't necessarily concern a lot of people. They don't necessarily have a lot of interest. But when I learned about this regional growth strategy and the amount of sort of backdoor deals, or I don't even know the full extent to what has been discussed because it hasn't been transparent, it hasn't been open. So that's really concerning to me, and the fact that it is going to have such a big impact on our city is something that really got me riled up, and I hope that it will get other people riled up and other people aware of the fact that there are these big, important things that are happening right now, and we all need to get involved, and we all deserve to get involved and have the right to as well.
Now, the party, you know, you've already said that development has a pretty loud voice or great access to Cambion 12th and the people there at the moment. You said a moment ago that you want everyone at the table, not just the developer voices. Does that mean then that the party, Neighborhoods for Sustainable Vancouver, are anti-development?
Oh, no, definitely not anti-development. We're just against the idea that developers should have a louder voice than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So what we believe is that each of the stakeholders in a given project or in a given development, or it doesn't necessarily have to be a development, any of the planning processes that go on in the city, I think we need to have a number of seats at the table representing all of the stakeholders, and that would include developers, but it also needs to include communities, it also needs to include small businesses, it also needs to include residents. We need to have all the different voices represented. We're not anti-development, we're just anti the idea that one group should have a louder voice than others when it comes to the planning processes here in the city.
And then one of the other things that we hear a great deal about, and you see this when you go up and down streets in Vancouver, especially where there's a construction site, we see the signs of the sort of established parties, you know, plastered to the fences and the sort. So you get a sense that a lot of development money has gone into this campaign. Your party is trying to stem that tide, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
We don't accept any funding from any private interest groups, such as developers or any other corporations. We're only taking funding from individuals like you and me that believe in the cause.
Now, in terms of making Vancouver affordable again, that's something that a lot of candidates are talking about in this campaign. In terms of the ideas that you have, what would you do to, if elected, to make Vancouver affordable again?
Well, one thing that I would not do is continue to subsidize big development companies to create unaffordable condo buildings, and this is what we've seen. The current sort of thinking is that more units, with more supply, we will see more affordability. And so through the STIR program, we've been subsidizing the developers to create more densely packed units. But these, of course, are new condo buildings, and new buildings don't tend to be affordable. So moving on to what I would do, I think we really need to protect and upgrade existing buildings through proper enforced maintenance standards and also tax incentives for doing renovations in buildings without evictions. We need to end any kind of rezoning that results in a loss of the existing rental stock that we have. And we need to have inclusionary conditional zoning. So it's actually a city policy that any upzoning, so any time an area or a lot is upzoned to put in more units than it was originally zoned for, the city policy is that 20% of those units must be affordable rental units. And we've actually seen a number of times, including just about 10 days ago, council waive that requirement to the developers. And that is absolutely unacceptable. We need to ensure that that is the case across the board in any new development, that there's always affordable rental units put in.
Have you enjoyed the campaigning part of this election?
It's been quite difficult for me. I continue to work on my business and in my other volunteer obligations, so it's been pretty tricky to try to balance everything. And then in recent days, I've started to get some attacks online, just in some comments on articles and things like that, and that's quite difficult. And it's sad that that is what, you know, that is part of the political process. But I do have to say that it's been really great to get out there and talk to so many people and to see that there really are a lot of people that are interested in these things and that want to talk to you and engage. So, you know, it has its ups and downs, and it's definitely tiring, but I've had a pretty good time.
What are they saying online about you?
Oh, that I'm, you know, uneducated on the issues, or that I don't have a lot of experience, and then one person is attacking me for having a property investment.
Is that right? Yeah. And so how do you respond to them? I mean, do you want to take the opportunity to respond to these criticisms?
Well, when it comes to experience, I mean, I've been working since I was 15 years old. I have a really diverse background. I've done accounting work. I've done management and sales. I've mostly been working in education for the last several years, although a lot of my work in education, including my graduate thesis work, was on democratic education and democratic approaches to the classroom setting. And I think a lot of those ideas actually really tie in well to what's happening here in the city. I think it's really important to get students involved in the decision-making processes in the classroom, and I also think it's really important to get citizens involved in the decision-making processes in their communities and city. So there's actually a lot of connection there. I'm on the board of directors for Co-Development Canada, which is a big NGO doing work in Latin America, and, you know, I have a number of other experiences, so I certainly feel that I'm qualified for the job. And then the property investment is it's very little money of mine, and it's a family investment with several people, and it's a triplex on East Pender, and it currently houses 8 people living in the 3 different units, and I don't see why that should be even part of the campaign or a problem at all.
Yeah. Yeah, the knock on, there are a couple of young people who are running for political office in this election, and I'm not much older than you are, and it is frustrating when young people like yourself come forward and put themselves up for nomination and run, and then get these sorts of snide attacks that they're inexperienced and the sort.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. I mean, the fact that young people are willing to stand up for what they believe in, I think just shows their integrity and their dedication. And I think there's actually quite a few younger candidates in this election, and I think it's really important that we give them a chance. I mean, every person brings their unique experiences to the table in whatever setting it is. And that's something I also talk about in the education realm as well, that we often treat students like they don't know anything, that the teacher is the big boss that has all the information. But that's so not true. Each student is coming with a wealth of knowledge and their own personal experiences. You know, no matter how young they are, they know things that you don't know. And I think it's really important that we collaborate together with people of all ages, especially when it comes to, planning processes for the entire city, and especially when it comes to 30-year development plans that are going to affect the future of young people.
Yeah, and it's a perspective that's been missing heretofore, I think.
Yes, I agree. Yeah,
regardless of party or whatever one who runs stands for. You told the Tai'i that in your time in Mexico, that you notice that there were similarities there and here, in terms of the politics.
Yes.
Yeah. What were they?
Well, one of the other groups I work with, Sipo Van, is basically the sister organization to Sipo in Oaxaca. Sipo stands for the Consejo Indígena Popular de Oaxaca, the Popular Indigenous Council of Oaxaca. And it's essentially a collective of indigenous communities that are working together to struggle for their rights and their autonomy and their voices in their political processes. And in their case, you know, it's very extreme, where the government of Mexico is essentially trying to take over their lands, impose, you know, more sort of Western ways of thinking, put their schools in that disregard indigenous knowledges. So it's a much more extreme situation there. But the basic idea that it's communities that have come together that are struggling to have their voices heard, that are being continuously shut down, that are being ignored by the upper levels of government, I mean, that's exactly the same as what's going on here. And that's one of the reasons why I got involved. You know, when I started learning about what was going on here in the city, I felt, you know, pretty riled up, just the way that I feel when I talk to the people from the communities in Oaxaca, and it's the same reason why I got involved with people.
And on Occupy Vancouver, I mean, that seems to be the dominant issue of this campaign. Where are you on that?
I absolutely do not believe that we should be trying to force people out who are simply trying to express their ideas. I believe it's very important that there are safety standards and that the occupiers are cooperating and especially sharing the space, because, you know, it is a public space and we need to ensure that everybody can use it that wants to use it. But I think that the Occupy movement is providing basic human rights such as shelter and food that the city is failing on. And until we can, the city is able to provide those things, then I think we should let people provide it for themselves. I mean, I think that we need to be working collaboratively with the people from Oaxaca, with the people from the Occupy movement, in order to come up with solutions so that a tent city is no longer necessary.
And how do you view the campaign thus far? We're a few days into the before the vote. Do you think on the 20th, the morning after the election, the sort of Vancouver that you're running for will be realized in the council and the mayor that's elected?
You know, each day I feel something different. You know, some days I feel like we have a really great chance and we're going to see a complete change. And other days I feel like, no, we're just going to have more of the same. And other days I feel like it's going to be somewhere in between. I kind of feel like anything can go, anything goes at this point. And it's really up to the voters to get out and vote and to really vote for what they believe in. I hope that people are not simply, you know, voting whole slates because that's, you know, what they've been told to do. I hope that they will actually go out and research all of the candidates and see who they think will really represent them. I would much rather have a mixed council with representatives from many different groups than any kind of homogenous council.
And we have been seeing, just looking at signs on the street alone, as well as the chatter online and the sort, that independents are they seem to be getting a attention. And I don't know if that translates to votes necessarily, but they certainly are. There are people who are committing to vote for certain independent candidates. Is that what you've noticed too?
Yeah, it was tough for us. I mean, we're not an independent. We're a group, but we've been basically treated the same way as independents, and it's been really hard for us to get our voices out on mainstream media. And even just on the streets with the signs and stuff like that, we have a very small group of people working for us. They're all volunteers. It's very grassroots. And, you know, we don't have the $2.5 million to spend. So it's been tough for us. But I have noticed that in the last week or so, it does seem like we're getting more coverage. The other independents are getting more coverage. We're seeing more signs around. So as you said, I don't know if that translates into votes, but I'm really glad that at least the ideas are getting out, and I hope people will make informed choices on the 19th.
Nicole, thanks for coming on today, and good luck with the rest of the campaign.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. The website for more is at nsvancouver.ca. Nicole Benson is a city council candidate for Neighborhoods for a Sustainable Vancouver. She's on the line. I'm Joseph Plunta.